Blog Talk Radio.
Well, hello everyone. I'd like to welcome all of you back to Ohio Exopolitics. I'm your host, Mark Snyder. The game plan for the show this evening is, first I'm going to discuss a very interesting interview between J.R. Nyquist and a guy named Mike Adams, who I've talked about before. At least I think I have, anyway. And then we're going to move on, and that discussion is about China and World War III, and then we're going to move into some principles in the Might of Thoughts, because we're coming into times, as you probably are very well aware of, very trying times. You know, we have the coronavirus, which has really stopped a massive part of our economy, and I think we're looking at kind of a global economic reset. I think the global elite have planned this already. Let me dive into this whole thing with China, and this hopefully will be clarified. And again, this is Mike Adams interviewing J.R. Nyquist, who is a journalist who works for like a newspaper called Epoch Times. And I'm just going to read a little bit of this and then discuss it. The real reason for this call-up is that Trump and the Pentagon know the coronavirus is just the opening salvo in a new world war that was initiated by China to crush America and achieve world domination. Now, that is a blockbuster statement. This is what J.R. Nyquist, his research has led him to this, and he's a real researcher. The 1 million reservists are being activated because the Pentagon expects battlefield casualties on a large scale. I believe that's something that Mike Adams has stated. But let me continue here. China has planned for decades to release biological warfare agents on the United States. The general that was the defense minister of China from 1993 to 2003 gave a speech somewhere near the end of his tenure, and the speech was translated into English by Epoch Times, which is who J.R. Nyquist works for. They call him Jeff. The leaders of China are psychopaths. We in the West are normal, and we cannot understand how the leaders of China could be so insane. The coronavirus is a biological weapon that was released by mistake. The Chinese made a deal with Russia some years ago, which allowed Russia to take Canada and Alaska. So there is an invasion that's been planned. The Chinese have openly admitted it. They made a deal with Russia, which allowed Russia to take Canada and Alaska. China would get the lower 48 states. So, and I've heard other people say this, I'm convinced this is real. General Chi said that they needed to clean up the U.S. by paralyzing it economically with a biological weapon. The accompanying troops would be immune at the time of the invasion. Socialism and communism is a kind of modern religion that believes in the salvation of man in the physical realm. Socialism is running Google, YouTube, the medical community, banks, and Hollywood. The left is leading a new religion in America, and they have taken over the media and all of the colleges. This is a very brief summary of this incredible interview. Let me give you a little bit more of news. This is on a slightly different topic. We're just running through this material so quickly. In 2019, last year, 1,480 CEOs left their posts. And in the month of January in 2020, 219 CEOs have stepped down. And I'll give you a few of the CEOs that resigned. Bob Iger, CEO of Disney. Jenny Rometty, CEO of IBM, Harley Davidson CEO Matt Levatich, T-Mobile CEO John Ledger, LinkedIn CEO Jeff Weiner, MasterCard CEO AJ Banga, Keith Block CEO of Salesforce, Tid Jane Thiam CEO of Credit Suisse, Hulu CEO Randy Freer. What do these CEOs know that we don't? Maybe they know ahead of time about the global financial reset. And that's the other thing that I, from what my studies are, is going on right now. There's a global financial reset. That's really the whole purpose of the coronavirus, is the global financial reset, because it was designed to keep Trump from getting reelected, and basically to weaken the United States before this actual attack. Let's hope it doesn't happen. But boy, the handwriting looks like it's on the wall. This is just astonishing. I'll try to give you more information about J.R. Nyquist. Maybe someday it might even be possible that we could get him on the program. So how are we going to maintain optimism in all of this? And I'm still learning optimism. You know, one of the things that I do, and I've shared this many times on the show, is that I have these things that I tell myself. And they're little passages here and there from the Might of Thoughts book. And these little passages, they help to return my optimism. That's really all I can say. Somehow, you know, your thoughts get away from you, and particularly the first thing in the morning. So I tell myself I'm confident, I'm optimistic, I'm relaxed, I'm cheerful, I'm enthusiastic, I'm strong, I'm healthy, I'm the master of my own destiny, the forger of my own fortune, the creator of my own good luck. I do not allow my thoughts to drift on the ocean of life. I steer my thoughts like a captain steers his ship. I nurture my thoughts. I strengthen my thoughts. I clarify my thoughts. It is the nature of the thoughts that by their might alone, every conceivable thing can be brought to fruition. What I mightfully think manifests for me. When tangled ideas confuse the thoughts and cause them to go from one extreme to another, which triggers emotions that can lead to murder and manslaughter. There is no room for rationality in these basically wrong ideational thoughts, for only irrationality lives there in highly emotional forms. The negative and the positive are two forces that belong together and should not be separated, because they depend on one another. My consciousness is like a garden filled with flowering plants. That which I mightfully think manifests for me. Only a conscious or unconscious purposefulness can bring thoughts to fruition. The maintenance of wrong thoughts or viewpoints creates deep grooves in the consciousness, which must be slowly repaired so that they disappear. Unsatisfaction kills off all initiative and striving towards that which is higher, and lets the human being sink into brooding misery, into inactivity. So these are just some of the things I tell myself, that so I can bring myself back to optimism. And are we just a little bit about optimism here? I really think I'm learning myself very much about optimism. I got a long way to go, I think, in some ways. But I guess we all do, and we'll just improve together, right? It requires a special strength of consciousness. Furthermore, in regard to the achievement of and maintenance of optimism, it is important to say the following. It requires a special strength of consciousness, intelligence, and rationality to live In the current terrestrial world and within the gigantic mass of Earth humanity, and only he or she who acquires the strength and develops the necessary perseverance and persistence and makes them his or her own is able to create a decisive optimism from that. So it seems that this concept of perseverance and persistence keeps coming back up. So you almost just have to continue to do things over and over and over and over and over again. And then slowly you'll make little steps, little breakthroughs, and then you gain some confidence. And then you just keep doing it and doing it and doing it. And then you make another little step forward, a breakthrough. You're starting to feel, you know, more confident about things. So now this is a total contrast to what I was mentioning earlier about tangled ideas. Ideas are incompletely developed factors. So we have an ideal, I-D-E-A-L, which is something you've completely thought through. And then we have an idea, which we may have thought that we'd completely thought through, but we really didn't. And we've still got some more to go with whatever this is that we're working on. People get caught up in ideas and are not able to become free of them. And notice that thoughts are not organized when you're in this state. You have tangled ideas, I-D-E-A-S. And this condition arises when there is sometimes a frantic behavior will also accompany this. So let's look at this in terms of cause and effect. So the cause is tangled ideas. So our thinking is not clear. It's probably got emotion behind it. IDEAS means you haven't completely thought it through, or you think you have, but you really haven't. And this causes a confusion. You know, you're not totally clear on this. You might be real emotional. You may be really committed to it emotionally. But there's still something here that's confusing you a little bit. And if you continue in this frame of mind, your thoughts will go to one extreme to another. You'll be so mad at the person, you think you hate them, and then you feel like, oh, you know, wait a minute, what am I saying? You know, this is crazy. And this create your thoughts will go off in wrong directions, and you'll think about things that you have no reason to think about. And then you'll get emotional. And if you let it go any farther than that, you can get into violence, which can lead to manslaughter and murder. And let me read something from the FIGU Special Bulletin number 38. It says, as a matter of fact, in the entire universe, everything is built up on information of a creational nature. Consequently, nothing delivers so-called and non-existent chance nor chaos. Rather, everything and indeed also all matter is constructed on information. Truthfully, everything has its order, determined through information, which manifests the law of causality, respectively cause and effect. So there are these creational laws. One is love, it's a brotherly love, and it's the love of creation is the most awesome of all. Love is the highest principle in all creation, and through it everything exists in absolute logic. So the universe has absolute logic, and this brotherly love is a creational natural law. There's the second creational law, which we talked about yesterday, which is striving. It's the Ur-law of all creation, striving, work. It's cleaning your house, it's cleaning your garage, it's taking a shower, it's getting exercise, it's your day job, it's your part-time job, it's your hobby, all of these areas. It's the books you read. You always should be striving. Don't fall into pursuing pleasure or pursuing entertainment. You know, it doesn't mean you can't take a break. I mean, but your real happiness is going to come from your continued striving. And sometimes it's striving that, you know, you're just kind of relaxed about. You're not really worried about it too much. And you can be really efficient that way, and it can be very, very pleasurable. Striving doesn't, in fact, striving is where you get your real satisfaction and happiness from life. If you turn away from striving, you'll actually become unhappy, confused, depressed, all of these things. That's why addiction is never a solution to anything. Because we're designed, the universe has set things up for us to strive. Striving is called the Ur-Law of all creation. Everything in the universe and the creation is devoted to the striving down to the tiniest building block. So that's, I call it creational law number two. It's so important for your happiness. Creational law number three, the law of harmony, neutral, positive, equalized, balanced thinking. You know, not allowing yourself to fall into tangled ideas, but to think your ideas through to the point where they're ideals. And then to not allow yourself to go out of neutral, positive, balanced thinking. So those are three creational laws just off the top of my head, and I think they're probably really important ones. There's also one called system and order, where you try to do things at the same time, and it creates a structure to your whole life. It gives your whole life meaning. It will also help you to help others, whether it's other people or animals. The more organized you become, the more helpful you become to everything. And it's just like optimism. Let me read another section on optimism here. If the life and its circumstances become tough and difficult, then such a life in its circumstances must be consciously accepted and must thoroughly be contemplated and processed in order to learn from it and to gain substantial knowledge, by means of which the tough and difficult circumstances and so forth are overcome and neutralized in order to thereby gain a neutral, positive, equalized balance. The effective facts must be constantly seen and recognized in order to avoid wrong impressions, wrong attitudes, as well as wrong views and so forth, which very quickly lead to pessimism. So we want to have clear thoughts, and to maintain clear thoughts, you have to recognize, oh, when your thoughts become twisted, untidy, jumbled, messed up, messy, chaotic. Your thoughts can be like a mass of interlaced and intertwisted threads. And so what you need to do then is relax and think of a wish dream, something completely neutral, playing with your pets, working in your yard, driving in your car. Think of a time that's nice and pleasant, a summer day. Get your thoughts back in order again. Get to the point where you have an ordered consciousness, where you can have linear thinking, and your thoughts are not going from one extreme to another. You're not triggering emotions. You have murder and manslaughter are the farthest thing from your point of view. You're rational. You have virtue again. Virtue is back in the consciousness. You can have a definite intention. You can set a zeal. You can imagine a zeal. Oh, here's something I want to do. And how am I going to do that? Well, I'm going to do A, B, and C. And then finally, D, So you have a purposefulness in your thinking again. You're working with IDEAL, ideals, that have been completely thought through. You've thoroughly contemplated things. You've recognized the values and the unvalues in the ideas. You may be holding, and I know I've held on to them. A lot of times we hold on to unvalues that can require months or even years to work out, and you know, wrong modes of thinking. Remember I talked about earlier where you've maintained a wrong kind of thinking or wrong point of views on things, and you've created these grooves in your consciousness that you need to make disappear, that you need to work through. You're in the good state of mind, you're able to handle these values and unvalues, and you're able to identify, oh, you know, yeah, I'm about 75% correct on that, but there's 25% there that I need to think back through again and, you know, come to a little clarity on these things. And you'll gain values that way. You'll create an evolutive attitude. And you're willing to conform to the evolutive attitude. You're willing to take on work. You're willing to be confident. Your ideas are formed into ideals and brought to fruition. And this creates an inner persistence, which, if you keep it up, can lead to optimism. And your thoughts, your consciousness, lead to education, learning, and knowledge. Now, there's something called unvalues, which I looked at, I talked about before. And unvalues can require months or even years to change for the better. There may be something you're holding on to desperately, and it has some wrong concepts in it. You may have a point of view that maybe is 85% correct, but 15% of it has some not completely true things in it. Unvalues are related to a character pattern of the psychopath. And these leaders, not to change subject, but these leaders in China that have made plans to use bioweapons against the U.S., they are psychopaths. And one of the characteristics of the psychopath is a lack of ability to have deep feelings for others. And unvalues are characteristic of psychopaths. For example, pathological angriness is another. And this comes from Figu Bulletin 68. Unvalues are often characteristics of psychopaths. And I think we all, from time to time, we kind of lose it and we act like psychopaths. We have a lack, I'll just read a few of them, lack of logical decisions, lack of rational conduct. These are the unvalues of psychopaths. Frequent change of sexual partner. Boredom. People talk about, oh, you know, I'm working out of my home and I get bored. It's like, well, there's something wrong with your thinking. Something profoundly wrong with your thinking. Parasitism. Manipulative behavior. Seducing and deluding other human beings. Always worried about the unfairness of things. Endorsing torture is another characteristic of a psychopath. Having hate in your mentality. Remorselessness. Again, a lack of deep-reaching thoughts and feelings. A lack of empathy. These are all characteristics of psychopaths. There are about 70 characteristics there. I didn't read them all. I only have about 13 in my notes. And when I was quoting those verses, I also quoted this second half of the Tangled Ideas thing that talks about no room for rationality. And if we don't stick with optimism, we can become irrational. Let me continue here about optimism. All things, circumstances, occurrences, experiences, and events of all kinds must constantly be seen and understood as such, whereby a personification relating to oneself must never result. This means that things, circumstances, occurrences, and experiences, as well as events and so forth, must in and of themselves in every case be seen and understood as such, and indeed in such a way that they do not become personally burdening for the consciousness. They always remain capable of being processed with thoughts and impersonal. These are some ways to become more optimistic. And I think I might end the show here very shortly, but I want to talk just a little bit more about optimism. To achieve optimism means that the mental self-image must be changed, and indeed by means of effective and applicable self-cognition. So there's the self-cognition again. We've got to be aware of ourself, which in turn has to be followed by a realization of self. So I think, you know, this optimism is something I need to work on. Through self-knowledge, one's own possibility for the development of strength must be recognized in order to then actually also build up the inner consciousness-based strength by means of an inner self-realization. The strength must then be anchored in the consciousness as a positive concept, so that it is always present as effective knowledge and positivity influences the thoughts in this form, whereby the positive might of the thoughts develop. So what I've found, what has helped me the most, is memorization and being able to, you know, recite these things back to myself. Everyone is not oriented to do that. So bring in the wish dream. And even if you are good at memorization, still use the wish dream. That's one of the things that Billy recommends. There's something about the wish dream which is really special. It's like, and it'll even give you confidence as you start to use a wish dream. And because you can kind of direct your thoughts rather than drifting, you can literally direct, I want to feel this way. I'm going to think about this for a while. Just focus on that and hold on to that. And you'll relax, you'll gain control back of your thoughts. Your emotions will no longer be out of control. So anyway, hopefully that will be helpful. We're going to talk more later in later shows, at least I think we are, about the possibility of World War III and the economic reset and things like that. But we're going to make sure we balance it with learning more about optimism and being neutral positive in our thoughts and avoiding tangled ideas. Have a great day. We'll talk to you next time. Bye-bye.